So today we are doing 29 Majjhima Nikaya, the Sutta 29, that is Maha Saropana Sutta, the greater discourse on the simile of the hard wood. So, thus have I heard, on one occasion the Blessed One was living at Rajagaha on the mountain Vulture Peak. It was soon after Devatatta had left. There, referring to Devatatta, the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhus thus, "Bhikkhus, here some clansman goes forth out of faith from the home life into homelessness, considering I am a victim of birth, aging and death, of sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair. I am a victim of sufferings, a prey to suffering. Surely an ending of this whole mess of suffering can be none. When he has gone forth thus, he acquires gain, honor and renown. He is pleased with that gain, honor and renown, and his intention is fulfilled. On account of it, he loves himself and disparages others thus. I'm one who gets gain and renown, and these other speakers are unknown, of no accounts. He becomes intoxicated with that gain, honor and renown, grows negligent and falls into negligence, and being negligent, and he lives in suffering." So like someone, because he's become, just now I have mentioned, there's someone like, you know, they become a monk, and they got all this respect, and become famous, and the lay people really look up to them, and they're just offering, then they become conceited, you know, the ego become very big. So they think that they're so special, so I'm better than the other monks, you know, no one know them, you know, so I'm a special because I got all these, lots of offerings, you know, so then he stopped there, like he become complacent, so this is not the purpose of living this monastic life, isn't it? Then he stopped there, then he's become like, becomes intoxicated with the gain, so he was being, overcame by this defilement conceit, you know, because of the gain, honor. And that is the downfall of the monks, the Buddha said. So it's just like, as the Buddha went on and said, it's just like the simile of that hardwood. He said, "Suppose a man needing hardwood, seeking hardwood, wandering in search of hardwood, came to a great tree standing possessed of hardwood, passing over its hardwood, its sapwood, its inner bark, and its outer bark. So he would cut off the twigs and leaves and take them away, thinking they were hardwood." So they're thinking that this is the goal. Okay, enough, because I become a monk, so I have this gain, I have this fame, you know. Then that is his complacent, he's happy. So actually, it's just only first step only when we become a monks or nuns, we commit ourselves, you know, to go forth, to live a homeless life. That is only the first step. So that is not the goal of being live a monastic life. Is not that just to get gain and fame. So and these monks, the Buddha said that he stopped there. It's just like you're only taking away of the twigs and the leaves. So you're past. You pass the hardwood, you pass the sapwood and the inner bark and outer bark, and he's only take away the twigs. So then he's not, his goal is not, not attaining his goal yet, so he stopped there. So he said, then a man with good sight, seeing him, might say, "This good man did not know the hardwood, the sapwood, the inner bark and the outer bark, or the twigs and leaves. Thus, while knitting hardwood, seeking hardwood, wandering in search of hardwood, he came to a great tree standing possessed of hardwood, and passing over its hardwood, its sapwood, its inner bark and its outer bark, he cut off the twigs and leaves and took them away, thinking they were hardwood." So he's thinking that this is the goal. So he take away the twigs and leaves. That is so similarly like he think that this is his attainment. So now he's famous. So he's got a lot of gain. So that's it. So whatever it was this good man had to make with hard work, his purpose will not be served. So, Pickles, here some clansman goes forth out of faith. He lives in suffering. This Pickles is called one who has taken the twigs and leaves of the holy life and stopped short with that. So the person is there. Because this is a gradual training. Because there are layers of defilements that we need to, you know, abandon, eliminate, eradicate the layers on layers. So this is a gradual training. So the first step that he renounced, you know, the home life, then he went to the homeless life. That is only the first step, not even really started yet, you know. It's just, so it's just a beginning. So that person already falls short. So here, because some clansmen goes forth out of faith from the home life to into homelessness, considering I'm a victim of birth, aging, and death, of sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. I'm a victim of suffering. I'm a prey to suffering. Surely an ending of this whole mess of suffering can be known. When he has gone forth, thus he acquires gain, honor, and renown. He's not pleased with that gain, honor, and renounce, and his intention is not fulfilled. He does not, on account of it, love himself and disparage others. He does not become intoxicated with that gain, honor, and renown. He does not grow negligent and fall into negligence. Being diligent, he achieves the attainment of virtue. He is pleased with the attainment of virtue, and his intention is fulfilled. On account of it, he loves himself and disparages others. Thus, I'm virtuous of good character, but these other pickles are immoral of evil characters. He becomes intoxicated with the attainment of virtue. Gross negligence fall into negligence, and being negligent, he lives in suffering. So that's first step, that is the morality. So we have to have the morality is essential and is important. That is the first, that is the, this is a whole path of purification. That is you have to take out the, that's like the we have to purify ourselves, our three good conduct first, our behavior. So that is the causal level of defilement. So we have to, this is a many levels. So the first level, we have to have the moral, so to keep the precepts. So keeping the precepts, like just being a good person, a moral person, is not our goal, because we still suffer, isn't it? So that is not the goal, and it is not an end of itself, but it's essential, because we need to. There's a level of the defilements. We have to take out the causal level first, the gross defilement. Just imagine, if we not be able to purify our three good conducts, that is mental, bodily, and speech. So because the thoughts come first, isn't it? So when we have unwholesome thoughts, we think of violence, we think of harming others. You have these thoughts. And that is really dangerous, isn't it? So if we don't restrain ourselves, then we go into speech, isn't it? Verbally, we abuse others. But if we can't restrain, we go to what? Bodily actions. We even hit someone, isn't it? For example, when we so get upset with someone, when anger arises, when maybe someone says something nasty to us, we're so upset and so angry. And that thoughts arises that, you know, the anger arises that moment. But if we not be able to restrain our mind, then we started to swear and, you know, being abusive to that person, revenge, you know, because someone's been nasty to us. We not be able to restrain our speech. And then if not be able, then we even more angry. Then we hit someone. So then if someone such a conduct, you know, like, they don't even have the moral. So can this person really be able to really abandon or remove a more refined level of that defilements, like greed, you know, the more subtle level of greed, hatred, and delusion. That is more subtle because there is different level, you know, that is like, this is more a coarser level, like we are even not pure, our conduct is not pure, like it's so gross, you know, like very abusive, you know, bodily and speech. Then how come, even you can't remove that. How come you remove like the sense of self, the ego, the craving that is really, really more subtle of defilements? So this is the first step, it's just like you have to. That's why it's important to keep the precept. So keeping the precept, you know, is not that I'm a goodie, I'm better than the other because I keep the five precepts. Well, it's not the purpose of keeping the precept. So keeping the precept is help us to restrain our three good conducts, you know, to develop the three good conducts, to restrain ourselves, to restrain our mind, to restrain our bodily action, to restrain our speech. That is still very cost, you know. So this, the Buddha said, this is a gradual training. You know, you have to slowly train the mind to let go of the gross, you know, then you let go of the more subtle. So yes, the precepts being a virtuous person is important and is essential. You know, that is a foundation. That is some the foundation that we can build upon. So, but of course, it is not an end of itself. That is not the goal. So morality, you know, being a good person is not only exclusively for Buddhists, isn't it? Other religion also they emphasize so much of being a moral person, isn't it? The morality in other tradition, in other religions, you know, they emphasize a lot. So that is being a moral person, a virtuous person. So then, because of sometimes that it becomes like a conceit, like you know, I'm better. So we compare, like some monks, they think that they're because they're keeping the precepts, so then they look down upon those that are not keeping the precepts. Then that is not the purpose of keeping these precepts. We try to compare with others. This is not the purpose of that. So, and this is not the purpose of living the holy life. This is not the goal of the holy life, to just to keep the precept and show that I'm holier than the holy. I keep more precepts. I'm better. The Buddha said that is the three conceits. I'm better. I'm as good. I'm worse. That is, you know. Then you started to look down on others. So then this person thinks that I'm good already. So then he stopped that and then he will not go further. Diligently and practice, you know, to continue to practice, to purify, you know, the mind to further. So because he only took take off the first layer, then he stopped there. So that's why it's important that we also have to remind ourselves, like not to be complacent, and that's it. I'm good enough, and that's it. And that is not the goal. So that is only the first step. So the Buddha continued to say, it's just like, you know, he said, then a man with good sight, then he cuts off the trees and he then take away and da 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 and wait. Yes, I think he would cut off, you see, this is a very high tech. I'm using iPad. Sometimes it's accidentally it's gone and then it's just, you know, and I have to say, oh, where is it? And I think book is better. Next time I prefer to use a book. Okay. So, number three. So he said, you see, it's go back again. No, this number three, okay. So I finished that. So he said, suppose, he said, a man needing hardwood, seeking hardwood, wandering in search of hardwood, came to a great tree standing possessed of hardwood. Passing over its hardwood, its sapwood, and its inner bark, he would cut off its outer bark and take it away, thinking it was hardwood. Then a man with good sight, seeing him, I said, this good man did not know the hardwood, or the hardwood, the sapwood, the inner bark, and the twigs and leaves. Thus, while knitting hardwood, he cut off his outer bark and took it away, thinking that it was hardwood. Whatever it was, this good man had to make with hardwood. His purpose will not be served. So, two pickles. Here some clansman goes forth. Out of faith, he lives in suffering. This pickle call one who has taken the outer bark of the holy life and stopped short with that. So, then he's not fulfilled his goal. He stopped there, being complacent and then sidetracked, you know. Then, and come to the fourth paragraph that is here. Because some clansman goes forth out of faith from the home life into homelessness, considering I'm a victim of birth, aging and death, of sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. I'm a victim of suffering. I'm a prey to suffering. Surely an end of it, this whole mess of suffering can be known. When he has gone forth, thus, he acquire gain, honor, renown. He's not pleased with that gain, honor, renounce, and his intention is not fulfilled. Being diligent, he achieved the attainment of virtue. And he's pleased with the attainment of virtue. But his intention is not fulfilled. He does not, on account of it, love himself and disparage others. He does not become intoxicated with the attainment of virtue. He does not grow negligent and fall into negligence. Being diligent, he achieves the attainment of concentration. He is pleased with the attainment of concentration, and his intention is fulfilled. On account of it, he loves himself and disparage others. Thus, I'm concentrated. My mind is unified. But these other pickles are unconcentrated, with the mind astray. He becomes intoxicated with that attainment of concentration, grows negligent, falls into negligence, and being negligent, he lives in suffering. So this one that he's go a bit farther. So like, good. He's not being moved by having gain, you know, renown, fame. So he's still, you know, then he go further. So he being a virtuous person. Then now, so because of his diligence, then he achieved his attainment of concentration. Here, concentration actually is referred to samadhi. So samadhi, the Buddha samadhi, is always referred to four jhanas. That is a jhana. That is in absorption. That is that you temporarily abandon or suppress the five hindrances. That is the desires, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. So because this really cloud the mind, these five hindrances. So it's not permanently abandoned yet. Actually, when someone attain jhana, you just temporarily suppress. Then that's why you have that kind of like you free from that defilement. Like it's not you permanently free from that. It's just you temporarily. So that's why it's important. For the cultivation of the mind, to have a calm mind, to have these absorptions, you have to have a good morality. Three good conducts. You have to practice restraint. That is a foundation, you know, for a calm mind. So just imagine if someone that are very gross, how come they can sit peacefully, isn't it? The mind is just all over the place, you know. But it's not the goal yet. It's not attainment. It's just temporarily. You know, give it a taste of it. How is it like when the mind is free of these hindrances, these defilements? So that is not the goal yet. So, and also, remind me of that. Meditation is also not exclusively only the Buddhists meditate, and other religion also they meditate. So being a peaceful and calm person is also not free yet. You see, we only when we are meditating, when we are in jhanas, that time we are blissed out. But when we come out, we still suffer. We still in the samsara. We are not really, we still will be reborn, you know. Even though you die, if you have jhanas, you know, then you in the higher realm. But you still within the samsara. So when you finish the lifespan, you still come back. You know, you're still not free. It's still that. But it's essential. We need to have this peaceful mind. We have to have the calm mind, like the mind temporarily free of defilements. Then we can see things as they really are. You know, it's just for example, like when we are confused, see, we can't think properly, isn't it? So if we remove ourselves from the usual situations, when we just calm ourselves down, I mean, we just make ourselves as peaceful as possible, then we have more clarity, isn't it? So this is, I just give you an idea, you know, that's why it's important that you need to be peaceful and calm. Then sometimes it becomes like you have more insight, like sometimes when you are calm and peaceful, then you can see things more, you have more clarity. So we need to have temporarily that. But that is not it. That is not the goal. And that is not an end of itself. That is just part of the purification. And it's essential, we need that. But it's not the whole of the path. It's not the goal. So, and that's why sometimes, like, it's a very common thing. Some people that think that the achieve that, you know, this that think that, oh, I'm meditation is very good, I'm better than the other person, and then that becomes considered they think that, you know, I'm good, then they stop there. They think that they have this attainment. So that's why I always remind, you know, our nuns at our monastery, said we don't become a monks, become a nuns to attain jhanas, to have limitas, to even to attain enlightenment. So the Buddha said, even the Achan Chai used to say, even not we do not practice to want to get something, to get attain something. We don't, you know, we practice to let go. So that's why when you come to the point of samadhi, actually you have lots of insight. But that insight is not that insight that takes you to free, you know, it's not the liberation type of insight. But you do need the insight. Because why our mind cannot focus? For example, we've been, because of the five hindrances. So whenever we crave, the mind moves, you know? When you hear you're not happy, you want somewhere else, you know, when someone's restless, the mind is always, you know, all over the place. So your mind is not focused because you're not happy, not content. And if you crave for things, your mind is moved. So only when you let go of that, isn't it? Then your mind still. So that takes a lot of insight to see that, isn't it? To be able to come to the point that you let go of that. Because like, it's very easy whenever this mind, mental objects comes up, the thoughts comes up, immediately we overcome by that, isn't it? And we just go along with the, you know, with our thoughts, with our emotion, isn't it? We overcome by that. So if we be able to not to move by that, it's not easy, isn't it? We got to have a lot of insight, some this wisdom to see that, not to get affected by the defilements, then you really be able to focus on the meditation's object. Of course, sometimes sometimes people do have the ability to, I mean, use a bit of willpower to push themselves a little bit to focus, and then they got to this, we call it like some the kind of like a ping pong jhana or nimitta, but that is not through the really through the wisdom, not using the wisdom power. It's just a will power to push a little bit, but that doesn't take, I mean, will not last long, isn't it? How far can you go with will power? You just push, so until a point you can't push anymore. You can suppress a little bit, you know, using will power, but it's not through the wisdom that you really let that go. you know, that is come to, if you be able to attain this absorption, that is a loss of letting go. Letting go and letting go. Because whenever you have the sense of self, that moment, you move, you crave. Isn't it? Craving to be. That is the sense of self. That is move. Then if you be able to come into one pointedness, that is the mind is just focused not to move. That is actually a loss of wisdom there. But this is not the wisdom that the liberation that free us, that kind of wisdom. But we do have insight. So lots of people think they tend to separate that samatha, vipassana, you know, insight and, you know, actually they come together, hand in hand together. So this is, that's why it's important to have this calm mind, peaceful mind, to have the clarity of mind. So we have so we need to have in the Dhammapada, the Buddha said, no jhanas without insight. And no insight without jhanas. So in other words, we have to have a small insight to accomplish the big insight. So we have a bit of insight so that we have this really calm mind, those absorptions, jhana, and with the deep meditations that we'll be able to see things as they really are, we penetrate through, then that is a big insight, that is a liberation. So then the Buddha went on and explained the simile of this hardwood. He said, suppose a man eating hardwood, seeking hardwood, wandering in search of hardwood, came to a great tree standing possessed of hardwood. Passing over its hardwood and its sapwood, he would cut off its inner bark and take it away, thinking it was hardwood. Then a man with good sight seeing him might say, this good man did not know the hardwood or twigs and leaves. Thus, while knitting hardwood, he cut off its inner bark and took it away, thinking it was hardwood. Whatever it was this good man had to make with hardwood, his purpose will not be served. So too, bhikkhus, here some clansman goes forth out of faith. He lives in suffering. This bhikkhus is called one who has taken the inner bark of the holy life and stopped short with that. So it's just like he's searching for the wrong thing. So he thinks that that's it. Okay, with this jhana, you know. And this is how even, you know, there's some monastic monks, then when they have good meditations, you know, and then jhana, and then they become conceited. So, and then they started to greed, because you are not enlightened yet, because it's just temporarily. You see, we are not permanently abandoned the five hindrances. So then this is, that time, he's comparison with that, then he thinks that, they say, I'm so good. You see, I'm better than the other, because other people are so restless, easy, they can't meditate. I'm a good meditator. So I know how is it like when I remember when I first started to meditate, I was so arrogant, I was thinking, oh gee, I'm the one who practice meditation, I'm meditator. Oh, those people only do dana. Oh, they are not as good as me. Yeah? Yes, this is how it's very easily we just, you know, off the track. And then instead of weakening our sense of self become bigger than before. That is really dangerous, because of we think that we have the attainment, and then we look down on those, you know, and this is how, you know, when we stop there, we become, you know, complacent. Yeah. Yes, because we still have that, our greed, hatred, and delusion is still there. So our underlying defilements is still there. So, and because of we still have that, we are not permanently abandoned. So then people will really look up to you. Ah, think that, oh, you're such a good meditator. And then you started to, you know, proud and conceited. You think that, oh, I'm so wonderful, you know. Then this is how it's the downfall. Off, then eventually if the person started to the downfall of like for example, like we have like some monks, like they have this deep that have this attainment, you know, absorption. But because of his started, because of the conceit, you know, then he started to do so his affect his morality. You know, it's just like Devadatta. He wants to kill the Buddha, and that is four. So when you don't have the purity, you lose the power. You lose the psychic power, and then even the jhana you will lose. What do you mean that investigate? After the meditation you investigate. So investigations that if the investigation do not give rise to conceit, you know, then it's just to remind yourself that it's okay. But sometimes, you know, you get stuck in, you know. Sometimes, like, you know, it's true, we did this, you know, because of the everybody just look up, you know, to you that, you know, think that you're so wonderful, you know, I'm a good meditator and I'm better than anyone else. You see, I got nimitta, and then comparing what, so you first jhana, I have second jhana, I'm better than you, and the other person said, I got third jhana, and I'm fourth. So, and then they compare with what color of the nimitta. So that is not the purpose of the practice. We are not practice to get. That is come naturally, whether you want it or not. It's happened by itself. Yes? Yeah. You look at the behavior. Even someone, many years ago, someone asked Pak Outsider, you know, he's the one who's really focused, emphasized a lot of doing jhanas. Someone asked him, he said, how do you know whether that person is attained jhana? So the Pak Outsider said, if the behavior is so gross, if the person come to tell me that they attained jhana, it's just impossible. But outside, it's impossible. You know, if that person is so gross, the behavior, the conduct, and he said there's a thin jhana, because you really have to, it's the mind step mode that time you were in jhana, you know, you be able to attain jhana, actually, so the purity, that's right. You have the three good conduct come first, you see? You have to be the virtuous, the moral, the sila. You have to have pure sila in order to reach to jhana. So, but of course, if you just complacent, you just stop there, you fall back. So you climb up, you know the stairs, you know, and then you haven't reached that yet, and then you complacent, you just shoot, you fall back again. So because that is not the goal, but we do need to have this peaceful mind if you want to attain the goal, the liberation. That is, we need that. But it's not an end of itself. It's not a goal. This is not the goal. There is a competition, because the comparing is come from the sense of self. So whenever you put the me and mine in there, it becomes, you know, if you take out the me and mine, it's okay. You're just praising. There's actually, the Buddha really encourages us. Like, if you do something good, we reflect on that. But we just reflect on the goodness. It's not that me and mine, I'm so good, I'm this. No. Because whenever you put in the me and mine, that's the problem. So the sense of self getting in the way, yeah, that is the problem if you put the me and mine in there. So actually, a lot of people get confused, you know, that, oh, they're afraid that if I reflect on that, I become my ego. But actually, it's not. Actually, it's help us to arouse the joy, the happiness, that we appreciate ourselves, but not with that comparing that I'm better, I'm as good, or I'm terrible. It's not with that. Yeah. Because when you have doubt, you say, oh, am I doing this well? Or am I, you know, you're not sure. So because when you have doubt, you cannot really focus your mind on the object. Because when you have doubt, your mind started to be, you know, oh, whether this, you know. So that's why remove the doubt, then you be able to use it. That's why the first jhana, that is, you have this apply thoughts and sustain thought. You be able to, because you're so confident that you be able to really apply your mind on the meditation object, and then you be able to sustain that. If you have doubt, you can't apply the mind and sustain. So, okay, so. So we come to the five. So here, Pikus, some clansmen goes forth out of faith from home life into homelessness, considering I'm a victim of birth, aging and death, of sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair. I'm a victim of suffering. Prey to suffering. Surely an ending of this whole mess of suffering can be known. When he has gone forth, thus he acquires gain, honor, and renown. He is not pleased with that gain, honor, and renown. And his intention is not fulfilled. Being diligent, he achieves the attainment of virtue. He is pleased with that attainment of virtue, but his intention is not fulfilled. Being diligent, he achieves the attainment of concentration. He is pleased with the attainment of concentrations, but his intention is not fulfilled. He does not, on account of it, love himself and disparage others. He does not become intoxicated with that attainment of concentration. He does not grow negligent and fall into negligence. Being diligent, he achieves knowledge and vision. He is pleased with that knowledge and vision, and his intention is fulfilled. On account of it, he loves himself and disparage others. Thus, I live knowing and seeing. But these other people live unknowing and unseeing. He becomes intoxicated with that knowledge and vision. Grows negligent, falls into negligence, and being negligent, he lives in suffering. So, this one he passed through. You know, even he's not been moved by having attainment of his absorption. So he's go further. Then he's got this. Here, according to the commentaries, is knowledge and vision. Say that actually is referred to that like a divine eye. Like you be able to see a different realms. Like, you know, the heavenly realms that you can see. You know, have the ability. So actually, this remind me of Anuruddha. That is his eight thoughts of a great man. That actually Anuruddha, he's when he becomes a monk, very quickly he had this ability. He be able to, he always, you know, go to a different realm of, you know, heavenly realm. He's go there, and for a long time, you know, that even being a monk for a while, he still not be able to really attain arahantship because of that, because this is still mundane. You know, he still delights in the world. He's still outside you. He's traveling to, you know. So then then when he reflect on the eight thoughts, you know, then he come to the seven, you know, then the Buddhas know that this is time is ripened. The Buddhas appear to him the last thought that the Buddha give him, that is, do not delight in worldly. That is a delight in a unification. That means your mind is not going out. You go into one pointedness, because even you have that knowledge, you still engage, you know. You go to in a different realm. And also it's remind me of another, like, you know, Meiji Gao, that is Meiji Gao. So he's one point also, she's like that. Meiji Gao, she's a disciple of Ajahn Mun, and then after that she's also becomes a disciple of Mahabua. So she passed away, that she's so she's at one point, she has this ability, she's always like communicate with all the beings from the heavenly realms and different realms, and she think that this is her attainment. So when Ajahn Mahabua asked her to stop that, you don't do that, your mind is not focusing, you're not looking in. She will travel busy, you know, traveling, you know, to this realm, to that realm, you know, and you're not really penetrate through to look into your own suffering. Sometimes your ego, like, you think that I solved this problem, I solved that problem, that being need my help. And it's not that we don't help them, but he think that she got the attainment. So, and then when Ajahn Mahabua asked her to stop, she was very upset with Ajahn Mahabua. She think that, you know, I have attainment, you see, I'm sitting, I have this, you know, I'd be able to communicate with, you know, those other beings in the different realm, you know. She think that this, so she refused, initially she had this resistance towards that. And eventually, she's, then she be able to see that, you know. Then she let that go, and then she focus, you know, go in. So not to get sidetracked. This is how we easily get sidetracked, because of it's just actually this sutta is because it's come from Devadatta, because of he left, and then the Buddha gave this teaching. So Devadatta is a very good example. He's got this psychic power. So he become really so proud. He think that he's better than the Buddha. So because it's still mundane, you still not, you know, you still have the you're not permanently abandoned the five hindrances. You see, it's still mundane, but this is a status of, you know, purifications. It's not there yet. That is not the goal, to have all this. Yes? Huh? This, that you, this, actually, this, this type of, according to, I mean, this, to the commentary, like, you know, when sometimes you have come from samadhi, you'll be able to attain this psychic power. So that's why it's still, but not yet. But even you have jhanas, it's still mundane. It's still not super mundane. It's not yet. So, but it's good. It's essential. That's why if it's not necessary to have psychic power. You understand what I mean? But distraction, isn't it? Yeah. Attachment and detraction. Yeah, and then you busy, you know, like Anuradha, he's so busy going to different realm, you know. I'm busy with that, you know. And that's why but the absorption is necessary, because we need to have the clarity of mind. We have to then only be able to penetrate through the three characteristics, so we can really, you know, free ourselves. That is, we no longer bound by great hatred and delusions. So that's why you know whether someone is enlightened or not. So you test that person, you make that person angry, then you know that person is not enlightened. Okay. Yeah, you see, like Devadatta, even Buddha can't help him. You see, the Buddha said, if I can help, I will help. Even the Buddha said that, you know, I will help him if I can. you know, but he can't. He said, I would, the Buddha said. That's because it's just, you know, so this is how it just happened. It's very common. Like we do like someone told me that this person been to this temple, and these monks have this psychic power. Like he be able to release the fragrance. Like even you at home, you can smell that. And because of that, the lay people will really fall onto his feet. You know, like really, wow, like he's like a god. You know, like really. You know, and then he all, of course he got lots of gain, you know, fame, you know, and after that, because of that, he's really fall short because of he was being arrested by the police, and he was being jailed because of he make a 16-year-old girl pregnant. You know, then this is how they said the Buddha said danger of that. The fame, you know, people you think that you, they really treat you like a god, they think that, you know. So that is not the goal, not that we don't, we practice is not to get those things. That is not our goal. That is not our goal of practicing. We are not get, that is not the goal that, you know, to get. Yes, of course, it's naturally the jhanas come, you know, as your mind, you be able to focus, it's come naturally. It's just like the Buddha said, he said, you practice this path. He said, these 37 factors of enlightenment, it's just like a hand, you know, a hand sitting on the eggs, you know. Then if you sit long enough, all those eggs will hatch by itself, isn't it? Do the hands need to say, may my egg hatch? No need, isn't it? So it's come naturally. But the problem is a lot of people, they want so much because come from the sense of self, the ego, and then they try to make things happen, they try to manufacture. The more you try to manipulate, the more you try to control, and actually you're further away from the goal. So actually it's just at ease and at peace with where we at, with the situation we are in. Just be at ease and at peace with that. Just imagine we've been in the samsara for don't know how many lifetimes, countless lifetimes. You think we can just so easily, you know? It's got takes time. But people just impatient, you know, they think that, you know, they want to quickly. That, because of we being conditioned that way, we want results. We see results. Yeah, like now the society is very results-oriented. You know, because of we being conditioned that way, and then sometimes we want that to see the results. The results come by itself. So then the more you want it, the more you try to control, actually you're further away from the goal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's good in that way, that's right. But it's still not, but that is the danger of that. That's why it's very good that sometimes we study the suttas, it's good to remind ourselves not to just sidetrack, you know, and go off the track. And instead of weakening the sense of self, we become really, our ego be even bigger than before, you know. Then that is not really, like, we are not only off the track, then we go to the opposite, not heading the right direction. They say sometimes it's important that when we read these suttas and we remind ourselves, it's good that we keep reminding ourselves not to, you know, sidetrack and go off the track. So then he gave the simile of the hardwood. He said, suppose a man needing hardwood, seeking hardwood, wandering in search of hardwood, came to great tree standing possessed of hardwood. Passing over its hardwood, he would cut off its sapwood and take it away, thinking it was hardwood. Then a man with good sight, seeing him, might say, this good man did not know the hardwood or the twigs and leaves. Thus, while needing hardwood, he cut off his sapwood and took it away, thinking it was hardwood. Whatever it was, this good man had to make with hardwood. His purpose will not be served. So too, Pickles, here some clansman goes forth out of faith. He lives in suffering. This figure is called one who has taken the sapwood of the holy life and stopped short with that. So this is the Buddha to give the simile how he's like, he think that he's not attaining, this is taking somewhere else that he take away the sapwood. He thought that this is the hardwood, so that is not the goal yet. So, but he think that that's it. Become complacent and just stay there. So now come to the sixth. Here, because some clansmen goes forth out of faith from the home life into homelessness, considering I'm a victim of birth, aging and death, of sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair. I'm a victim of suffering, prey to suffering. Surely an ending of this whole mass of suffering can be known. When he has gone forth, thus, he acquires gain, honor, and renown. He is now pleased with that gain, honor, and renown, and his intention is not fulfilled. When he is diligent, he achieves the attainment of virtue. He is pleased with that attainment of virtue, but his intention is not fulfilled. When he is diligent, he achieves the attainment of concentration. He's pleased with the attainment of concentration, but his intention is not fulfilled. When he's diligent, he's achieved knowledge and vision. He's pleased with that knowledge and vision, but his intention is not fulfilled. He does not, on account of it, love himself and disparage others. He does not become intoxicated with that knowledge and vision. He does not grow negligent and fall into negligence. Being diligent, he attains perpetual liberation. And it is impossible for that bhikkhus to fall away from that perpetual deliverance. So then this, that he passed through off. All this purification, like, you know, from the sila, and then samadhi, and then that is actually, that is the development of the wisdom. Then that is attain this nirvana. That is the breaking the chain of the, because the reason why we keep wandering in the samsara because of the avijja, that is a delusion. So to break the chain of the rebirth. So we have to break through the delusion, that is to develop this wisdom. This wisdom is not the small wisdom. This wisdom is to really, that is to free us, the development of the wisdom. Yes. That is, this is a like different level. Like, for example, like for first entries, like the Sotapanna, you see the non-self, but the non-self is that you have different level. So actually they understand the Four Noble Truths, but in a different level, you know, like with a stream winners, with once returner and non-returner and arahat. That do see that, like, for example, like a Sotapanna, you have no personality wills, you know, you have abandoned the doubt, the three lower factors, and then you're no longer like attached to rites and rituals. That is the first three, and then this is like, that is that. That's why when that is, that's why normally in all the suttas, when they say someone see the Dharma, when they have the complete faith, that is at least, that is the stream winners, that you have the complete unshakable faith in the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. That is a complete faith. Yes? That is like someone is on the path, like on the path to the stream winner. And then that is, then some is already got the fruit side. There is there are the Sotapanna. Then there's someone is on the path to the Sakagami. That is a once returner on that, and one is already reached that, got the fruit. And someone is on the path to once returners, non-returners, and then some is on the path to arahatship. You know, the path and fruits, some is on the path and fruits, that's why there is at least there is the first stage, right? But it's not, according to here, it's more like, but because when you are a sotapanna, for sure that you will not go to a lower realm, then it's only seven, that for sure that you will get enlightened. You know what I mean? That for sure. That's right. The first stage when you have the, you are the sotapanna, that is a guarantee that you will not fall back. But if you do not a sotapanna yet, any time you can fall short again. You know, even in the heavenly realm, you can go down the animal, you can go to hell, and then you start all over again. But for sure, that is you will, you know, attain enlightenment. It's just a met that is a, according to seven lifetime. You know, that is that's why when in many of the suttas that mention when someone attained this sotapanna, they call that someone who see the Dharma. You know, that is they always use this to describe, you know, someone, you know, that they have this first stage of an attainment, that is enlightenment. The first stage of enlightenment, that is you see the Dharma. So you have a complete faith in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So they're complete, unshakable faith. So will not rebound to a lower realm. So yeah, then the Buddha's. So this is they call it perpetual deliverance. Some translate it as a unshakable deliverance of mind. That your mind is free. You no more karma making. You no more rebound. That's the attainment. That is the goal. That is a nibbana. So the Buddha said. So he went on and gave the similes of this hardwood. He said, suppose a man eating hardwood, seeking hardwood, wandering in search of hardwood, came to a great tree standing possessed of hardwood, and cutting off only its hardwood, he would take it away knowing it was hardwood. Then a man with good sight, seeing him, might say, this good man knew the hardwood, the sapwood, the inner bark, the outer bark, and the twigs and leaves. Thus, one eating hardwood, seeking hardwood, wandering in search of hardwood, he came to a great tree standing possessed of hardwood, and cutting off only its hardwood, he took it away knowing it was hardwood. Whatever it was, this good man had to make with hardwood, his purpose will be served. So too, because here some clansman goes forth out of faith, when he's diligent, he's attained perpetual liberation, and is it is impossible for that because to fall away from that perpetual deliverance. It's just like you will not fall back. Like if you are, at least if you are a sotapanna, you will not fall back. So this holy life, because does not have gain, honor, and renown for its benefit, or the attainment of virtue for its benefit, or the attainment of concentration for its benefit, or knowledge and vision for its benefit. But it is this unshakable deliverance of mind that is the goal of this holy life, its hardwood and its end. So that is what the Blessed One said. The bhikkhus were satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words. So that's the end of these suttas. So any more questions or comments? Yes? This Dhammasara, I think because of I think it's from Ajahn Vayama. Actually, it's to remind us why we live this holy life. Yeah, actually, it's to remind us that why we live this life. So remember Dhammasara, then we remind, be reminded that why we live this holy life. So I think this. That is a whole purification of the mind. Like that's why sometimes like we stop there. Sometimes we think that we attain but not yet. Yeah. Because we haven't reached the goal yet, and then we got some benefit, and then we're so happy, and then maybe it's like, for example, some people like jhana, they bliss out, then they think that they're enlightened. You know. So and then they stop there. And that's but that is important that we remind ourselves. But if we know that you still have anger, then we definitely not arahan. So I don't know whether there's any questions or not. I think, is there any questions? Oh, just a recording, okay. No, yeah, so it's okay. I don't think there's online, I don't think so. Yeah, I think then we finish, okay?